Yeah, okay.
Love Talk Radio.
I believe that we are on the air. Okay. Welcome to the Mystic Journey. I'm your host, Mona Magic. By now, all of you should know the format of the show, but in case you don't, I just want to let you know this is a very special show tonight, mainly because it's a very important topic. However, I will let you all know that I will not be accepting any phone calls today. However, if you are within the chat room of Blog Talk Radio, I do check the chat room so we can go ahead and talk amongst ourselves in the chat room. And if you have any questions, just go ahead and pose them, and I'll see if I can get them through. Otherwise, it's pretty much of a format where is that you can always go back and check what you need to do, check what you need to, you know, listen back in on, and go from there. But before I go off and talk about my guests, I'd like to give a shout-out to my sponsors, which is the Original Falcon Press, the Occult Publishing Company, that you can find at originalfalcon.com. Now, if for those of you who don't know, if you do purchase any books or, let's say, items of $50 and above, I will provide you with a free reading. So please do go ahead and purchase what you will, and let me know exactly what you're reading. So possibly, who knows, maybe I even may want to pick it up. And in the next few weeks, I look to have Glow Mambo available with me as well. So she will be returning back every third Sunday of the month. I know it's been a slow start for the month, or a slow start for the year, rather, but, you know, all good things take time. So without any further delay, I would like to welcome Fanny from the ESP Lab, because Fanny is a very important person to me. He's very important because, number one, he was the very first person I had on the Mystic Journey. I've had Sammy on a few different times. The ESP Lab has a huge following worldwide, and they've got loads of correspondence courses, which I cannot wait until they actually release out to the public on the Internet, because I was one of the recipients who received many things via mail many years back, and I'm talking about close to 20 years back. So I want to welcome Sammy. Hello, Sammy. How are you doing?
Hi there, Mona. I'm fine. How about you?
I'm doing just fabulous. I want to thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show to talk about the none other than Ishtar Power. How have you been, first of all? How is everything going for you?
Well, I live a charmed life, and I hold to that, and I am still fat and sassy. It's been a little more challenging with the winter this year. It's been like a once in every 20-year snowstorm here. Of course, we're not alone, but I had some roof damage, and so that makes me whine a little bit. But I have to say that I was working with a lab member who was helping me shovel 4 feet of sudden snowfall off my breezeway, and I turned to him and said, well, are we still living the charmed life? And he smiled and said, absolutely. And when you start comparing it with Haiti and Chile and all the other tragedies, I mean, a million folks over in the East Coast here are without power. My main house was nice and warm and secure. And so after the whine of are we living the charmed life, we went in and had a brandy by the oak fire. And yes, we're still feeling good fortune. And I went to the chiropractor this week, and they said, what's your status? And I said, glad to be alive after all these years. So we're still holding our own, and we're still having good results with our ESP lab works. And I'm having fun with my Great Danes, and looking forward to spring and all the rest of it. But I'm still doing quite well, but it has been a challenging winter for folks.
Well, I tell you, you know what, for the sake of just saying, you know, au revoir, or, you know, adios to the actual winter, I want to say good riddance. Just get out of here and welcome to spring. But with that, I'd like to welcome our topic of the hour, and that is Ishtar Power. But I want to really let you take the floor, because you are the expert. You basically have been with the ESP Lab a lot longer than I have. I believe I've only been with the ESP Lab ever since about 1987, I believe. I know that you have lots of wisdom and lots of knowledge to bring. So, first of all, I would like for you to introduce the power of Ishtar and really explain what it is, because I've had quite a few many queries online about, no one really knows exactly what, it is. No one really knows exactly where they can actually find information. And I would like you to help really all of our listeners and all of the people who actually Google everything, how they can really tap into the energy and how they can actually really utilize what power there is to their advantage and really learn from it and grow.
Well, I'm happy to share what I know, as you know, and I've been a member of the lab since 78, read my first book of Al in 1977, and Al Manning was the founder of the ESP lab, and he about 45 years ago. And so I read his book in 77, joined in spring of 78, and his newest book, which came out in 77, was The Magic of New Ishtar Power. And if you look at it quite simply, the Ishtar Power is another name for accessing the power of love. Now, that might sound like an oversimplification, but as the story goes, in the book Al wrote, and of course the book is still available. You can find it on the internet. We have a few available at ESP Lab. But so I read the book, and I was quite excited. I was a new lab member, and a lot of times when you're a newbie, you get extra benefit. But I really, really liked his Helping Yourself with White Witchcraft book. It helped pull me out of a doldrum and put me onto a new path. And I felt it was very authoritative and very clear and easy to understand. And it was more classical white witchcraft, by white witchcraft, that aspect of the craft that helps people and loves people and claims abundance and good health and safety and all those kind of positive values. So the different words push different buttons. And historically, if you go into ancient Babylon, which is a reference, Ishtar was the goddess of love, and in those days, the people of that era believed that you could not have the bull mate with the cow unless Ishtar authorized it. So if you look at ancient Babylonian references, they say, Ishtar, Ishtar, raise the bull. And that meant, hey, bull, it's time to get with it and procreate and preserve the race. And so Ishtar was the energy, is the ancient energy, historically, the name of the goddess of love in Babylon, and the higher and lower aspects, and the lower being the procreative type of aspects. So if you think about the moon for a minute, and you think about the ancient people of the world, every culture had a name for the moon, and the Greeks might call it Diana, and the Egyptians may call it Isis, and every ancient people throughout the world had a name for the moon, and we may call it the moon, and we may not be that conscious that the word month comes from the word moon, but in any event, I'm only saying this as a kind of a reference that if you say Diana, if you say Isis, if you say Hecate, you're all defining names that have been used to identify the moon. And with Ishtar, Ishtar is a name of a Babylonian love goddess, and the planet Venus also is an ancient power star or power energy observed by all the ancients as a goddess, as a power, as a light. And in that context, there were many names for Venus, and Ishtar was one of those names. So if you think of the ancient world, wherever you were in the world, whether you were in Europe or the Mediterranean or Africa or in the ancient Americas, the native people, the early people, had names for the planetary influences, and it was unique to their culture. So I wanted to kind of identify all of that before I got into the specifics on on Ishtar power as it manifested in the ESP lab. You got any questions or comments so far, Mona?
No, not at all. Not at all. Other than pretty much I would like to just clarify, the name Ishtar itself has many meanings, as you've mentioned, and from many cultures, Ishtar was revered as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that in between the speakings in between, you know, both you and I, you've mentioned also, too, that Ishtar also maintains an identity as a male entity as well. So can you differentiate, or can you actually let us know exactly what gender we're speaking of, or really what energy, and if you can identify the energy that we are talking about tonight?
Yes, absolutely. And if you want to think about, just one more comment as a kind of a reference, is that an angel or a spirit may appear to a person. And when that happens, the angel or spirit or energy might appear, or elemental force might choose to appear in a way that the person who is perceiving it can relate to. So if you ever looked at Geoffrey Hodson's Kingdom of the Gods, he has some inspired paintings of what angels look like, and they look different. They look more like energy fields than the traditional angel with wings. Now, if an angel wants to appear to a child, it's going to appear in a format that the child can recognize as an angel. It's going to have the wings and the robes. But the true form of the angel may be something different. So that's all a reference. But the history of the Ishtar that inspired the book, The Magic of New Ishtar Power, was Al Manning, after he founded his ESP lab in Hollywood in the 60s, had a nice building there and had a nice membership of over 3,000 people, and who was busy writing more and more books on metaphysics and spirituality. And he did write 23 books in the course of his life experience. But in any event, he was busy going about his week, and suddenly a 7-foot-tall spirit appeared in the laboratory with a sword and a robe, and identified that his name was Ishtar. But it was a male spirit. And Al, of course, through the years after he launched his book, got into challenges from scholars that said the traditional Ishtar is a female. And he said, well, in truth, you know, I have friends who are named Jesus, but that doesn't mean they are the Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So in the context of a energy, which in the lab we call energy transforming personalities, or ETPs, that a male spirit came in a Babylonian outfit and said to Al that he wanted to offer a spirit of magic that could help him and the lab in its forward work. And Al would say, okay, well, what can you do for me, and how do I know? And the spirit being basically challenged Al to chant the power sound of Ishtar three times a day, several times a day, and indicated that when Al chose to do this and did this, this simple form of magic would add a super effective energy to his work pattern. So Al Manning says, okay, well, I'll try it. And he said, Ishtar, 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 and he'd go about his day. Well, he found at the end of the week that his productivity for the week went up 300%. And anyone who ever knew Al Manning knew that he was a highly effective person who wrote hundreds of letters per week and cranked out 23 books and 11 correspondence courses. And so he was a very active guy, wound up having five wives by the time he, not all at once, one at a time, but he was a fun-loving guy, and he was a very active and energetic guy. So Al was very impressed that his productivity level and his effectiveness was increased by 300%. So he basically said to Ishtar, what more do you have for me? And Ishtar indicated, well, I have a whole book of magic that I want to give you to help you with your lab work. And that became the book called The Magic of New Ishtar Power. And so in the book, in the promotion for the book, it referred to Ishtar as your personal power to achieve anything. And that was kind of the tone. Now, Ishtar, the energy transforming personality, the male power of the ESP lab, Spirit Power, gave Al this very amazing power star, which has 8 points. And basically, the star is something that we use today in our lab work. You know, and it's over 30 years later from when Ishtar gave us this original magic. But basically, in the very center of the star is a sun and a moon and a Venus symbol, which is also the symbol of Ishtar. So really, if you put it in the simplest terms, the power sound of Ishtar and the spirit of Ishtar is an energy that allows you to access the power of love. And as you access the power of love, you have the key that opens the door to the universe and the universal forces. So then that is surrounded by an 8-pointed star and another sun, moon, and Venus. And then there are Neptunian type of tridents, which is a power symbol, saying we're taking this power of infinity, we're taking this in power of the will and the emotions and the power of love and the subconscious, coupled with the intuition. And then each point on the power star had a different energy transforming personality. And again, those names are a method to connect with the ancient power of the stars. So in the format that Ishtar gave it, it starts with a Mars symbol. So the points are Mars, the Sun, Venus, the Earth, Jupiter, Mercury, Saturn, and the Moon. Now, the power names that he used to identify a connection point with the celestial energy was Nergal, which is the ancient Babylonian Martian energy, Ra, the Egyptian sun, Ishtar, the Babylonian love power, and in the early Ishtar stars, they had the power of Osiris. About 20 years later, they changed to Pan because Al thought Pan was a little less stuffy. On the star I have today, it has Pan on it. Marduk for Jupiter, for the Babylonian sky god. Toth for the Egyptian god of magic on the Mercury point. Bast, which was the Egyptian cat goddess related to Saturn. And Isis for the moon. So the star then became the basis for the Ishtar magic, because he gave multiple applications of connecting the universal power energies through touching the star. And then he and Al together developed a whole system of work related to that. So if from that point on, the book turns into more kind of a cosmic recipe book of, well, if you need health, do this with the star, and if you need financial windfalls, here's a spell for that. And I dug out my Ishtar book, which I haven't read since the 70s, and during Thanksgiving, and I think I might have mentioned that when I was on your show the last time, and pulled out the manifesting financial windfalls chapter, and it was to set up a permanent thought form for continuing financial windfalls. And I basically got the star out and set up my PowerPoint for attracting continuing financial windfalls, and got the inspiration to create an eBay store. And this was on Thanksgiving, and I make good money, but I made a little less in 2009, and I had more expenses than I have had. So I said, well, maybe I should just open myself to a few sales on eBay. And so in that weekend, I set it up and sold a few items and brought in several thousand dollars in unexpected money in a week after I had set up that thought form for financial windfalls. Now, of course, the person can say, well, you can set up a store on eBay at any time, but part of this whole system is being attentive to inspiration or intuition from spirit, and then if you follow up on it, you suddenly find that you have a fresh success level.
Well, the question I have, because I'm actually looking at the Magic of the Ishtar book. I have no idea how long I've had this book, but I do know I've had it over 19 years. The question I have is, because you are basically calling upon the power of Ishtar, why you actually need Isis, Negral, Ra, and Isis, Murdoch, Intolt, and Bast, when you're actually calling upon the power of Ishtar?
Well, it's kind of, if we're going to, the answer is yes and no, meaning that Ishtar can be very helpfully specific without any other power personality's help. I know that when I first bought the book, I lived in Los Angeles. I now live in Colorado. But, it's hard to get a parking spot in L.A., and Al mentioned in the book that he had used the power of Ishtar to get parking spaces, and that may seem very simple, but if you try to find a parking spot in L.A., you know what I'm talking about.
Right, exactly.
But in any event, I would say, Ishtar, 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 thank you for helping me find a parking space, and then boom, two cars down from the door where I was going, someone would pull out, and I'd say, thank you, Ishtar, and I would slip in, and I'd say, oh, that's fun. So it's kind of like, if you think of it as a choir or you think of it as a symphony, if you need a violin, then you ask the violinist to play at your wedding or your birthday or whatever. But if you really want a tuba or you want a drum, you need a different type of instrument. And so Ishtar power and Ishtar magic is very useful in a standalone format, and it's kind of like I might be a tough fighter, but if I have my friend Glenn next to me, and then I have my two dogs, I know I had someone trespassing on my property the other day, and they were intoxicated, and they were visiting one of my tenants in my guest house, and they were rude and abusive and so on, and So I basically, I was out walking with two of my Great Danes, who are security dogs, with an oak staff, and I was wearing my camo coat, and I'm a big guy, you know, and the tenant was saying, oh, well, you really have to go, and the belligerent person says, no, I don't have to, and I said, you kids get it together in there, or I'm calling the cops. Okay, well, that should be enough. Well, the guy was still belligerent, and he came out, you know, and he's a little bit afraid of my dogs anyway, and so anyway, he said he didn't care if I call the cops or not. I said, 3 minutes, if you're on the property, I'm going to get my gun, and I'm calling the cops. So the point is, I really didn't need the cops. I had an oak staff in one hand. I was going to get a .357 in the other, and I have two dogs that are trained that are over 100 pounds each. So it's kind of like, at the same time, if you're going to invade Iraq, you want to have all of your soldiers together. And all I'm saying is that you have a power personality, which is Ishtar, which is the power of love to open the door to the various power personalities. So it's kind of like, is the color yellow, which is the color ray that we associate with Ishtar, is that the only color that you need? Well, if you think of the system related to your chakras, we have a root chakra, which is red, the spleen chakra, which is orange, the solar plexus, which is yellow, the heart chakra, which is green, the throat chakra, which is blue, the third eye chakra, which is indigo, various shades, the crown chakra, which is violet, and the eighth chakra, which we call the Isis chakra, which is a white chakra. So now the universe is structured that you can use the power of blue light for healing. You can also use the power of the green light for healing. They're two different energies, but they both have healing qualities. If the person is very low energy and desperately needs a little life force, then you may be using the red energy to give them vitality. If they had a mental clarity problem, the orange light is associated with mental clarity. So if you think of your chakra system as a personal Ishtar star, you have 8 points, and you carry it with you wherever you go. And so it's kind of like if you say Isis, well, different people have different associations with that word. Some may say, oh, that's just what the heathens call the moon. Others may take it beyond the moon and take it into the mother of all. But in any event, she is a rainbow mother, and that white light contains all of the energies of the rainbow. Well, you could contact the rainbow by saying, oh, what a beautiful rainbow, and I have the rainbow within me. But there's also a different frequency of that rainbow energy related to the Isis energy. So I think that all the power personalities are as important to to this magical system as having all the colors of the rainbow are important to having a full life experience, if you would.
I see. Well, with everyone out there who is of a vast audience, what would you recommend how people can actually incorporate the thought form of Isis into their ritual and their everyday, let's say, conjuring up or, let's say, associating themselves with Ishtar?
Well, I'm not 100% clear about your question, but the first part is Isis and incorporating Isis. And my own relationship with Isis is that it is a word which is a connection to the goddess. And the goddess is the mother of all of us. The goddess is the mother of the universes. The mother brought forth the sun and the moon and the stars. So my own relationship with Isis is that she's my rainbow mother who is also the mother of the stars. And so I would just say, if you want to incorporate Isis, it's with reverence. It's with appreciation of all the graciousness of her great gifts of each breath of life. So to me, the Isis is a name for the mother of all, and she is represented by our...
Well, what I really meant is actually Ishtar. I didn't mean to say Isis if I did, but I meant really
Ishtar.
Well,
the relationship between Ishtar and Isis in terms of the lab work is that Ishtar is the key to the door of spirit power, and it is on the ray of communication and sound, but love. So through Ishtar, we get to experience all the energies of the rainbow, not just the yellow power ray of effectiveness and that power of love help. But through that doorway, we then access the red, the yellow, the orange, the green, the blue, the indigo, the violet, the white.
Sure.
And then the ninth chakra, which I also, Al gets into his next book, Helping Yourself with the Power of Gnostic Magic, and adds Abraxas as the ninth point on the star, as the dual energy of the oneness of the male and the female force, as a kind of a deity energy.
Okay, well, let's focus on the next part of this, and that is how to apply. First of all, is there a point of awakening? And then is there a point of basically application of applying the power of Ishtar? Because as you know, most people feel at least that they need to go through a ritual standpoint of summoning, or let's say awakening, conjuring up some type of relationship. And then there's the application of applying daily. What would you recommend to actually coach a person to really develop a relationship where they can call upon the power of Ishtar on a daily basis?
Well, you know, every one of us is in a different point on the evolutionary path. And, of course, when Ishtar came into the lab and introduced himself to Al, Al was already a spiritualist. He was a spiritual scientist. He had daily numerous contacts with spirit powers. So he was already open. So he was open to, and he was in a magical place, the ESP lab, when the spirit came and volunteered, hey, I've got a new magical system for you. So the first thing is, what is the point of each person? Some people who are proficient in more of a magical style of whether it was a Gros Mambo or with a traditional voodoo perspective, or it was a Native American shaman, or it was a European witch. The thing of it is, if a person is already open to the other side of the spirit world, then it is easier to access a direct personal relationship. Probably the easiest way would be to find a copy of Al's book, The Magic of New Ishtar Power, and just read along with the very straightforward chapter of how to commune with your spirit helpers. And Al's attitude was that you didn't need a lot of faith or belief in the system in order to make it work for you. You basically just needed the willingness to try. Because that's a certain level of faith. Now, if a person already was a practitioner, and they wanted to have a communion with the power of Ishtar, one way of doing it would be to go to your altar to light your candles and to invite Ishtar and the power of love to identify itself to you and to work with you, and to seek to be responsive to that spirit direction. That would be another way of doing it. With me, I was already on a magical path when I joined the ESP lab. I had two great magical teachers. One was Al Manning for 30 years, and one was Mello Rai, who was a sun priestess of the Temple of the Sun. And so I had studied with her for several years before I met Al and got exposed to Al's work, and I studied with her for 16 years. So in various magical systems, the idea of contacting a spirit, now in the lab, in the ESP lab, Al's emphasis has always been on a friendship with spirit, a camaraderie. It's kind of like in some circles, Mama Isis is really a very serious personality type. In the lab, we have cartoons of her making cosmic jokes of various kinds. And what it does, it kind of softens the relationship, because part of the problem of having a communion with a non-physical being is that the rational mind and the rational person has all kinds of reasons why you should not do that. And so a person has to be ready, willing, and able to let go of their limiting thoughts. As Blavatsky, the great occultist, said, the mind is the great slayer, slay the slayer.
Indeed.
So another natural way of getting in touch with Ishtar and the power personalities, the energy transforming personalities as we talk about them, is to, you know, join our ESP lab and get a newsletter every month. And membership is only $2 a month for USA members and $3 for international members, and that price is been the same for since we opened 45 years ago, and it covers some of our costs of getting our materials out. But basically, on the Ishtar actually gave a model some 30 plus years ago that our newsletter should have a connection point with spirit in the opening paragraph. And so we have integrated a newer version of the Power Star into our opening paragraph, so that our members, as soon as they reach that opening paragraph, and it has lots of affirmations for your well-being and focusing in the right direction, you're immediately touching that power star, so you're immediately getting a little cosmic blast every month in a very easy to absorb fashion. And then we're always talking about some level of spirituality. We don't talk about the power personalities every issue, but there usually are a cartoon or two of the power personalities with a joke or two from them at least. And actually in this latest issue, I'm talking about all of the powers of the blue ray from Raphael, the angel who is of the Zoroastrian Jewish Christian and Muslim tradition, to Thor, to Athena, to the various powers of the moon, or all Isis has as the Rainbow Mother has a blue ray of healing. So I'm talking about how to access the blue ray using energy transforming personalities of various disciplines. So just in the big picture, if you think of it like this. In the old world, before magic was condemned, there were gods and goddesses, which we refer to as energy-transforming personalities, associated with all the celestial influences, whether it was Mercury to the Romans, Hermes to the Greek, or Thoth to the Egyptians. They all had a Mercury, and it was related to the planet, and it was related to the god of magic, the power of the mind, communion, communication. And we see that energy when Mercury goes retrograde, and we see how people become confused and business slows down and relationships break up. So we see when that power personality is adversely affected, it does have an effect on our personal lives. So then the idea is, how do we develop a personal relationship with these gods and goddesses, with these power personalities, and can they aid us in our day-to-day life experience, whether it's I need a spot to park my car, I have a fun one. Years ago, I had a friend who had a pizza restaurant, and he had a good debt on his pizza restaurant, and he was a very hardworking guy, and it was a pizza restaurant in a shopping mall, and he had just become familiar with the magic of new Ishtar power, and he was a newer lab member and a friend of mine that I had turned on to the idea. And he came over, and I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to have to close the restaurant." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I've had three plumbers come over, and they all told me I'm going to have to replace my plumbing, and my lease says I'm liable, and it's $10,000, and I don't have it." And so I just, in the moment, said, "I affirm and claim smooth running drains. Thank you, Ishtar, 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 for your love, friendship, and help." Called him back the next day, and I said, "Call three more plumbers, get three more estimates, and what I'm going to see what happens." So he called three more plumbers, and he found one who said, "Well, let's try my Roto-Rooter." And for $49.95, he had his drains cleaning, and his emergency was solved. So in my own mind, by choosing to access that power and use a spoken word in that declaration, suddenly the alchemy is shifted in a positive direction, and what appeared to be an oppressive force that was going to cost $10,000 instead was just a $50 bill, and now we're back in business.
Excellent, excellent. Well, with that, I would like to ask you two questions. Number one, is Ishtar power only used for, let's say, quote-unquote positive or white magic, if you will? And the second is if you can give me some examples of testaments of using Ishtar power. I mean, you've given me already one, but mainly because I get loads and loads and loads of inquiries about people wanting to know exactly what energies they could actually call upon or affiliate themselves with in order to bestow upon themselves whatever type of desires or goals that they want to attain. And I was just wondering, bluntly speaking, at a very, very, very modern term, which way does Ishtar swing, pretty much?
Well, that's, you know, always a good question. And I once had the pleasure of having the Minister of Industry for the country of Nigeria come to me as a magic student referred by Al. And he asked a related question, and he said, "Well, you know, the lab is only into white magic," which we are. And I said, "But, you know, different people will define that term in different ways. First of all, there's the group of people that think any magic is bad magic. Second of all, in that case, the example I gave to the gentleman was that if you were Joshua and you fit the battle of Jericho and the walls all came tumbling down. Now, if you were in Joshua's army and you had been coming through the desert and now you had plenty of food to eat and plenty of spoils of war, you would think, oh, well, that is really good magic. Now, if you happen to be a mother with a baby inside of the walls of Jericho, you're going to be, oh, man, those people are from hell. Those are the devil." So the first thing is beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The second, so what is one person's white magic may be another person's black magic, and to another person it may all be of the negative. The way I count is that there's good and bad in everything, if you would, or there's the nature of the universe is dual in action. It's positive and negative, day and white, black and white, male and female, good and evil. It's this duality that gives us the energy for creation. So in terms of Ishtar is an energy, and energy is kind of like money. If I give you $100 and you fed the poor, or you used $100 and you called a hit on somebody, I know you wouldn't, but I'm just showing the extremes of what a person can do with a $100 bill. And is the $100 bill evil? Well, it is neutral. It is an energy that can be directed in either direction. Now, with us, all of our work with Ishtar in the lab has been done with positive applications. But then again, some people would say in their moral code that you cannot use magic to attract money. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that as long as you're not trying to take away anybody else's money. You're just saying, I am a child of the universe and I deserve abundance. So I think I mentioned to you my friend who was a record producer that I went to see in the 70s right after I had my copy of Ishtar Magic with me and a copy of the Ishtar Star. I just picked it up at the laboratory. I hadn't even read it yet. And this person, I went to visit him, and he had just moved to a new apartment. And I said, wow, Mark, this is great. This is right on the park. And he says, yeah, it's great, but it took every dollar I have. I'm down to my last dollar. And I said, well, I was just reading in the Ishtar book how you can manifest financial windfalls. And I did this same thing at Thanksgiving that we did in the late 70s, but in terms of this particular time, he says, okay, I'm desperate, I'll try it. And I said, well, here's how you do it. You put your Ishtar star down. You put a picture of yourself with your head facing north. You put a dollar bill over it, and then you take a green piece of paper and you write a declaration, let there be a glorious abundance of financial windfalls, and you do a little spell over it, which basically was touching the, putting your fingers on the center of the star and receiving the energy as you're sending energy to the points as you're touching them, and it's you have your little invocation of those powers of a Nurgle Ishtar Marduk Basar loving unions here at last. So anyway, there were like half a dozen of these little incantations as you touch the power star. I said, good luck with that. I went on my way. The next day I came back to pick up my book, and there were seven $100 bills in 1978 on his power star. And I said, that worked fast. He said, yeah, it did. And I said, what happened? He said, well, right after you left, I've set up my power star and did the little incantation again and walked out for a walk in the park, ran into a buddy I hadn't seen for years. He owed me $700, which he happened to have in his pocket. And so the whole likelihood of that happening is not very likely. But again and again and again, we see that we have a specific magical ritual that's tied to the Ishtar Power Star that uses the aid of the power personalities in a format, and then there's a positive result. And our archives are full of hundreds and hundreds of examples. And
right.
I mean, I could go on.
Right, exactly. Well, let me ask you, in reference to Ishtar magic, Ishtar power, I should say, I haven't seen any, I wouldn't call it competitive, but I haven't seen a comparison out there in the occult or even in the underground. Can you elaborate on that? Can you explain on that? Because I haven't seen anything close to what Al Manning has actually put out there. Is it that this is pretty much one of a kind, or is it that it's just,
well,
you know,
the,
posed it differently?
Well, if you look at, for example, Al's book on white witchcraft, there may be 10,000 books out there on white witchcraft.
Of course,
I don't know.
Right.
If you look at, if you're going to look at books on the Kabbalah, there's 100,000 books. I mean, but if you look at the magic of New Ishtar power, there are not. Now, basically, this is a book that was written in the 70s, that it was popular in the 70s, and was right there riding with the heyday of the ESP lab when it was on its height, at its height in Hollywood. Well, Al got older, and his books are like anything else. You sell a number of them. I know his Helping Yourself with ESP has sold over 150,000 copies, but you may not have heard of it. Now, are there plenty of books on ESP? Oh, there's 100,000 books on ESP. Now, the Ishtar magic is something that is, from my perspective, unique to the ESP lab in the way that we practice it. I mean, we have a copyright on the star. We have a copyright on the material. And I have not seen anyone else do this. And basically, 20 years ago, Al slipped into more of a, Al turned 60 and he turned into a more of a retirement mode. And, some of the books that had been published by publishers, he took back the rights and self-published them, but he didn't really promote them. They just went to the membership and so on. But every once in a while, I get an email of someone who said, well, I heard about Ishtar in a chat room, and can I get an Ishtar star? And, oh, I found a copy of the book in an old bookstore, and will you send me a power star, as it says in the book? And we do. But it's a very limited, esoteric idea, if you would, and it's not for everybody.
Well, with that, not for everyone, I have to say that one must look at the situation at hand and look at, you're on the Mystic Journey at the moment. I'm speaking to you. Many people are listening. And you've got many people have requested the essence of this whole program itself. Could it not be that we need to actually expose and elaborate a little bit more on the Ishtar power? I mean, has anything been spoken or even, talked about on really elaborating on the power of Ishtar? Or is the power of Ishtar as is back in the 70s as Al actually wrote it as?
Well, it's the thing of it is it's still very powerful. It's still working today. And so it's a matter of, like right now, we have, hundreds of members of who are regular supporting members in our ESP lab, including, international members. And we are picking up international members. We just picked up two members from Seychelles, the little island off of Africa. And in truth, our ESP lab does deserve to have a whole rejuvenation, if you would, of a newer, more modern website and reprinting some of the books. Basically, we're still in reorganization after Al passed away. It will be 4 years next month. The Ishtar power is a universal energy, and it's kind of like the mother is a universal energy, but some people will be in conflict with that idea. So it's kind of like a lot of feminists may like the mother and the goddess, but maybe some guys are more into something else. The way I look at it is that in the lab, we're very empirical. We're very... Al was a CPA by training. I'm a very serious biologist. I raise champion Great Danes. I'm a serious biologist. I grow wonderful pears. And so all of that requires a concentration on a subject matter. The point is that when Ishtar came into the lab and said to Al, I have a new magic system I want to share with you, and Al says, what can you do for me? He says, well, just try chanting Ishtar several times a day, and you'll find out that your productivity increases. So just, and that will still work today for anyone who wants to try it. If you have a busy week, and I have a busy week coming up, so I'm going to try it. And just say, Ishtar, 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 thank you for your love, friendship, and help. And by those calling out with the sound, there is a sound frequency that resonates to that. And my own perception is that's really what all you have to do is to give it a simple try like that and see if you find your own personal productivity is improved. Now, Some people will say that contacting spirits is inappropriate. They might say contacting angels is inappropriate. Contacting anyone other than Jesus and Father God is inappropriate. But, you know, and the Pope would say, well, you know, no condoms allowed, even if millions of people are dying of AIDS in Africa. Each one of us has to determine what is truly moral or not. My own reference is if I'm helping people, if I'm seeing that people prosper, that they are recovering, that they are surviving their leukemia, that if they're having financial windfalls, that's the direction that I want to put my life into because I believe in karma. So I'm planting those seeds of love, abundance, and freedom and the Ishtar magic, while unconventional and not mainstream, is one effective tool for contacting celestial powers that are there to assist you if you contact them.
Well, that was well spoken, well put, especially in the examples that you've given. In closing and going forward, those who would like to purchase the magic of New Ishtar Power, and I'm looking at the book right now, and, you know, amazingly, I have to say to you, it's just so funny how life just unfolds. I've held on to this book for quite a long time, and I've referred back to it for some reason. It's been a dear book to me, and I'm interviewing you now. It's one of those weird things that you would never think would happen, but it's been a pleasure, really, having to have you speak on the new power of Ishtar and the energy overall.
Well, we're open to new. You know, we do have a pretty comprehensive website at esplab.com, and we have more to do. But you know, these physical bodies can only do so much in a day, and we do get, you know, hundreds of letters every month, and we do, as a reference, affirm the good and treat for the good of anyone who sends a positive request. We do that on a daily basis.
I see. Well, I tell you, I have been a fan of the ESP Lab for many years. I would say, well, now it's going on decades. But I want to say that everyone is very excited about purchasing the book. Do you have many books available to actually go out there and be shipped out, or are you going to have to go ahead and reissue some publications on these books, because I've had quite a few many requests?
Well, I know that we have at least a case of Ishtar magic books, which I know that's not a lot of books in the big bad world. I know that many of Al's books are available on the internet in general, but we have at least a couple of dozen books that we can send out, and what we're primarily interested in doing is seeing that all of Al's 23 books are republished, and also in an electronic format to accommodate, you know, the growth of the internet and also our international membership. So we have a few Ishtar books for people who want to get some from ESP Lab, and they can order them at esplab.com, and our phone number's on there too. But we don't have Omega numbers of the Ishtar book. Maybe we have 50. I'm not sure. But we're happy to get some out there. And our main point was to control the publishing rights so that we can reprint. And our direction is getting some of these books done as e-books so that we can, ship them easily and get them out quickly and not have a huge burden of a lot of expense to republish the books. But one of the reasons I think Al wanted me to be the president is that as a member years ago, I did say that I thought all of Al's books should be digitally recorded and they should be offered to the public in that format. And I do intend to see that does happen. But the good news is we preserve the lab, we preserve the publishing rights, and our Positive School of White Magic, and we're doing good things for folks every day.
Well, I have to say this, and really on a final note, I want to say congratulations, really, on basically the whole ESP lab actually having the new Y-Star Magic world power, because the thing is I haven't really seen, well, I have to say I have not seen any replica. I have not seen anyone really come close to the information. I mean, I have loads of books. In fact, I think it's going on thousands in between all the places that I actually have left my books, you know, here and there that when I move. But I have never seen a replica of anything on Ishtar Magic. So I want to say high five for that and congratulations and continue that. And that's why I feel that this show is so special and the information is so powerful, because no one has really come close to it. No one has actually published anything on Ishtar Magic in itself.
The way I look at it is that a power personality had a book on ancient magics in a new format, and he gave it to Al, and Al was sensitive and conscious enough to put it down. But as a reference, I did take on the reins of ESP Lab at Al Manning's request, but one reason I did so was the Ishtar Magic, because I knew within the many systems of spirituality, religion, positive thinking, that there are like millions of volumes on Jesus, and I love Jesus, and he's a great guy. I think good thoughts about him, and I'm eclectic. I like Sai Baba, who teaches that all religions are facets of one truth. But this Ishtar Magic, there's nothing else like it out there, and I've used it again and again and again through my 30-plus years as a member of ESP Lab, and it works really well, and we certainly want to continue seeing it do that.
Let me ask you something, because I know we've got about just a few minutes before the show ends. I've actually spoken to Al a few times in the past over the phone. I've never met him personally, but he was a very cool guy, always answered my questions, very, very nice person. Out of your personality, well, not personality, but out of your personal references of dealing with Al, did he ever really, really go into the history and origin of the spirit contact that he actually really made? Because for a spirit to actually come, an entity to come, a thought form to come to a person, most people will actually... at least some people, I should say. I can't account for most, but many people will want to know where that entity, where that thought form came from. So I was just wondering, if a spirit just comes up to you all of a sudden and says to you, "Hey, you know, come on, let's just do a book. I'll treat you right or whatever." Did he investigate his relationship or the history behind Ishtar? Because I know of Ishtar, that being of a female origin,
right?
And then from that being a male origin, I'm just wondering where the origin of Ishtar has come from, and where that entity, where that thought form came from. Just to be precise in the fact of knowing that when you've got people out there dealing with entities, dealing with spirits, you really need to know exactly where they're coming from for the sake of knowing exactly what you're dealing with, as you would or would not invite a stranger inside your own home.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's a rocking good question, and I'm not 100% of the answer. I read the book really in 78. I really haven't read it since then. But I have used it since then I remember there was, this spell for generating financial windfalls. I need a few of them. Let's go access it. But the way that I count is that this power personality, first of all, the ESP Lab as a building, as it existed in Hollywood in the in the 70s was not a regular type of structure. There was an occult bookstore with supplies in the front. There was a white marble pyramid that was 5 feet tall in the reception room. There was Al's office, which was a magical place. But in any event, the name ESP Lab is all about research. So Al was always researching numbers of things related to mystical subjects like, okay, you say that stones can change the energy. Well, how do they do that, and what stones are most effective? And so he may say, and okay, now we're working with marble. Is white marble different than black marble? Is different than green marble? And then his results would show that marble is a stone that helps to strengthen thought forms. So in the context that it was a research laboratory that was eclectic, where spirits of all types had been welcome, it gave Ishtar an invitation to come through. Now, was Ishtar a good spirit or a bad spirit? Well, the basic energy of Ishtar is the power of love. So is love a good thing or a bad thing? Some people would say it's both. Others would say it was a good thing. Others would say it's a bad thing. So really, you know, the good book says, by their fruits you shall know them. And numbers of folks have a tendency to label something bad because their grandmother did. And whether it's prejudice on race, nationality, religion, and Al used to joke and say, well, people are prejudiced against spirits. But there are, of course, spirits that are known for being of the dark side because they are spirits that are destructive, are dishonest, or are going to lead you down the wrong path, if you would. So how do you clarify that? I know that my own attitude is that anyone who is approaching the magical path should approach it with love, because love is truly the greatest power in the universe and is that which connects you to the divine. And when you approach magic in that way, that is a form of protection. If you approach magic from too intellectual a standpoint, there is the danger of becoming too egotistical and thinking that you are the great magus and that the entire universe is there to serve only you. And then that path is one that, you know, lies madness and bad karma. But so a person has to think of karma. And then now Edgar Cayce, you know, he was really interesting because he was a Presbyterian Sunday school teacher, and he didn't really know. He was never really fully comfortable about the voice, the prophetic voice that spoke through him. On the other hand, he read the Bible for every year of his life, and he was always into surrounding himself with the protection of the white light. So the answer is one should use due diligence and scrutiny in their relationship with others. And that there can be surprises. Sometimes a person gets married, they find out that they didn't know the other person. Or you go into business with someone and they make off with the payroll and you thought they were your friend. So it's not always the easiest thing to discern what is, quote, right or wrong. And there is, for example, people will say, well, you can't use your psychic energy to generate money. Well, to me, that's very relevant. And it's related to if I was a Native American, which I have a little Cherokee, but if I was a Native American of old and I was needing it more corn so that I could feed my family, it's totally appropriate to ask the sky to send the rain so that the people can be fed. But, you know, other people will say, well, you shouldn't do that. So everyone has got to decide what is right for them.
Sure.
And if you say, well, it's kind of like, we have a testimonial from a person in the lab this month who struck it big at the casino. I mean, he was playing penny slots, and he won $700 or something. And he had rubbed some of our lab prosperity powder in his hands and then went and was blown away with his success in gambling. Well, do I think that's right? Well, I think a person needs to be careful gambling so that, and I think spirit wants people to take care in gambling because there are things to do besides sit around in the casino and hope to get lucky. But I don't judge people, but I do have a moral code, and it's very specific. Now, some people, like my mother, would say, well, you shouldn't talk to, quote, the dead because they have other things to do. Now, is that right or wrong? Well, Al got into his work with spirits through the spiritualist church movement, which accepts that as part of their doctrine and has a methodology for doing it. So I know that I like the Ishtar magic. Ishtar, Brother Ishtar, is like the energy transforming personality that's linked to love, that has an ancient power system that works well. And these ancient power personalities do have energy for prosperity, healing, strength, discipline, awareness, love, growth. So in that context, that's how I use them in my life experience. But it's just like a big butcher knife in your kitchen. I use it to slice up celery. Someone else is going to use it to slice up a person. What's that?
I said, no. Just hopefully not.
Hopefully not, yeah. But there people, mortality and death and murders and so
yes,
I mean all I'm saying is the knife is a neutral instrument, and I choose to use that neutral instrument in a loving way, but also protection might be different than intentional willful destruction. So all of that, you could get very philosophical and you could talk a lot.
Right. Well, yeah, I get where you're coming from. So I guess the moral of this whole story is that basically it's the hands of, or let's say the beholder, what they do, what they will, begets, really the outcome of everything. But
and if
that,
a person is uncomfortable, if they say, I'm uncomfortable, I'm a Jew and I'm uncomfortable reading the New Testament, then they shouldn't do it. I'm not going to tell them to do it. If they're a Christian and they say, well, I think magic is wrong, well, then don't be a magician. My own attitude is Jesus was a magician. The magicians and astrologers found Jesus. There's magic all through the Old and New Testaments. So to me, it's kind of like saying, well, you should, breathing is natural, but breathing is magical. It's the breath of life.
Definitely. We take it for granted, actually. The actual medallion I am looking at, both sides, and I know, of course, that many people have actually made it. I received a link for a medallion that was actually made for someone who actually wanted to make that at carvedmetal.com. But I wanted to ask you, is there a statue, is there some type of idol that people can actually purchase that was ever made in the image of Ishtar?
I don't believe so. I never saw one. I never saw an Ishtar statue. And as far as the Ishtar images, we just, Al kind of had these ghost cartoons that he would just label Ishtar and label Isis and label Toth, meaning here's, and he would call them his spooks. But So it was kind of like just neutral spiritual energy as in terms of.
I think that's safe, and I really think that's safe, mainly because people tend to label pictures, and really it's a matter of perception. It's a matter of really, as you mentioned, what a child may perceive versus someone who knows a little bit more about angelic entities may perceive, or, you know, really that it's a matter of really what do they really look like or what does it look like.
Right.
So I would say.
And there was never an image drawn. There was quite a description in that Ishtar book of the 7 foot tall male with a large Babylonian sword and robes that came in that would allow you to conceptualize what this spirit, how this spirit chose to appear. And the Venus symbol is one that we use for Ishtar. So the symbol for Venus is the same one as for Ishtar, and it is the universal power of love.
Sure. Well, with the universal power of love, and you did mention earlier, I'd like to welcome you back for the Gnostic Magic, which is the sequel of this particular book, I believe, sometime whenever you can, just to basically continue really what Al Manning actually tried to, or not so much tried, but did actually convey to so many, if you wouldn't mind coming back sometime soon in the year.
Well, I appreciate that, Mona, and of course I would enjoy that. It's the next level. It's kind of like, you know, but if you think of them as cookbooks, this Magic of New Ishtar Power is cookbook one, and Gnostic Magic takes it to the next level. And I only refer to it like a cookbook because it's like recipes for different issues that you may have. And sure, well, I'd love to, you know, find a time and we could talk more about the energy of the energy transforming personalities.
Sure, excellent. Well, Sammy, you know what? I know I've taken lots of your time and everyone has really enjoyed it. Everyone has actually hung on to all these close to 90 minutes. We've got 13 minutes left, but I'm not going to take you much longer. Do you have anything to add or anything that's coming up that you'd like to share with everyone?
Well, the first thing is to invite everybody who is interested in trying a simple membership in ESP Lab. You can donate on our website with a PayPal, but that's ESPLab.com, and we send out a monthly newsletter with light exercises, editorials. This month is featuring a commentary on sovereign beings and what that means by Michael Manning, Al's son, who is very active in the lab as well. But I just also wanted to, since I was thinking about this, the most recent thing I have done with the Ishtar Magic is set up a little corner altar that's set up as a focusing device for continuing financial windfalls. And so I'm just going to invite folks to do that, and it could be very simple. Mine, I have an ESP Lab newsletter, which happens to have my photo on it and Al's photo. And so you want the photograph of the person you want to bless. You want to have their head facing north. That's covered with a dollar bill, or it could be a $20 bill. And a little piece of paper with a positive affirmation that says, "Let there be a glorious abundance of continuing financial windfalls manifesting now for Sammy Rose and the ESP Lab and our listeners today." And then I'm just going to, I think I would like to share the chant that goes with it. So you have your PowerPoints. They're accessing celestial energies. The energy becomes more present as you touch it through the power star. And then you can also go chakra to chakra. For the red, you have the root chakra, and the green, you have the heart chakra. And so you can lift the energy as love offerings to the appropriate energy-transforming personalities. And so here's the chant, and I'm just going to do it as a little blessing for the folks who are open to this idea. Nergal, Ishtar, Marduk, Bast, our loving unions here at last. Ishtar, Marduk, Bast, Nergal, feel the power-drawing circle do its work so wonderfully and bring big windfall straight to we. Marduk, Bast, Nergal, Ishtar, I am now a point in your bright star. Bast, Nergal, Ishtar, Marduk, together now great plums will pluck and share the joy of winning we, then use it oh so wondrously. So you take that energy or a related energy and you weave it into your permanent thought form for manifesting financial windfalls. And it's just, you know, for me, the wonderful thing about the ESP Lab is that it's play. Al was always into play. He was into laughter is the best therapy. And the lab is all about finding a fun way to turn to spirit, ask spirit for help, and have a friendly relationship with these power personalities that can, you know, be responsive. Like the earth elementals is the first energies that I used when I first opened Al's book, and it was all about how to contact the little people. And we have Puck on our newsletter this month saying is making a joke about elf confidence and the little people. So the point is, are the elementals real? Yes. What do the earth elementals do? They manage everything related to earth. What does that mean? Diamonds, rubies, emeralds, pearl, oil wells, Cadillacs, etc. So if you don't believe in them, then how can they help you? If you think they're evil, they aren't going to like you. But if you said, hey, little brother, you are earth and I am earth, and we're in this life experience together, and I acknowledge you, and our words have power as of old, hear me now, good elves and gnomes, to bring some silver and bring some gold and bring the lush green stuff that falls. Quickly now, fun with me. Dance, magic, glee, treasures bring most happily, and as our will, so mote it be. And then suddenly, the earth spirits are saying, wow, there's a human who actually not only acknowledges that we have existence, but wants to play and have fun with us. So that's really the theme in which we do our works in the lab, through communion with spirit, by multiple names, multiple powers. We're eclectic, we study all the religions of the world, and we study how we can enhance this practice of taking your thought form and energizing it so that it becomes the word of law in the physical plane.
Excellent. Sammy, that was totally excellent. I want everyone to contact ESPLab.com so you can purchase the Magic of New Ishtar Power. I've had the book for a very long time. I have to say that it must be some great, cover, because nothing is yellow yet. Maybe I haven't had it long enough. So the book has been in my possession for about a good 19 years, I would say. But it's in very good condition. So please do purchase the book. If not, just even the membership, because the newsletters are just fantastic. So, Sammy, I want to thank you so much again for joining me, because it's been something I've been looking forward to all month long, and it's always a pleasure to have you, and really unexpected blessings to you in abundant ways, because you bring so many good blessings to everyone else that I know.
Well, Mona, the pleasure's mine. It's always fun to be on your show. And I want to just sing a little rainbow prosperity blessing, since we're in the idea of unexpected blessings and fresh increase. So I'm just going to sing this little rainbow blessing for you and your listenership, the lab membership, myself. We're all in this together. And, you know, the world mind is focusing on death and destruction and poverty. So let's be creatures of the divine. Let us acknowledge the abundance of the universe. And here comes a little rainbow blessing to you and to all of you. And thanks again, and love and light. And here comes the rainbow. Let there be rainbows and waves. Let there be rivers and streams, buckets and wheelbarrows full of love and money, good luck in all things, of love and money, good luck in all things.
Thank you very much, thank you. Sammy, that wraps everything up about now, but I want to say blessings to you, and hopefully you won't incur any more snow whatsoever for the rest of this season, because I'm tired of it. I know you are.
Well, you know, it was 40 degrees today, and I took my dogs for a long, nice walk, and so, and I see the birds with the spring, and so, yes, but it is time for spring to inch its way in, and we're looking forward to that. Blessed
Excellent.
Be, Mona, and thank you.
You're welcome. Take care, and blessings to you, and until we speak again, you know, when you use your will, use it wisely. I've been your host, everyone. I'm Mona Magic. You can reach me at monamagic.com. That's M-O-N-A-M-A-G.com. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.